everyone. So good to see you out on this somewhat snowy day. So glad you could be with us here and the safety that God gave to each as they came here this morning. So what a blessing. So my name is Chaplain Joe Willis. I am a chaplain with the United States Army. I just came off active duty 31 September of 2014. And I've been working at a couple of high-level places over the last couple of years that the Lord, for whatever reason, chose to place me in. And I praise the Lord for all the opportunities to serve in whatever capacity, because it truly is a blessing serving our men and women in uniform wherever God would put us. And I praise the Lord for that. But since then, the Lord has moved me into a new direction. Put me back on reserve status for the last 11 months to basically finish out my career of about 34 years. And so it gives me opportunity to kind of clear things over the last few years from that standpoint. But I've also been able to join alongside Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, who is my endorsing agency, and I'll tell you more about that for Sunday school. So please stick around. I'd like to share my heart with you about Fundamental Baptist Fellowship as well as the chaplaincy. Share a DVD with you and even a quick challenge of why we do what we do for our country, for our nation in this capacity. And I hope it'll be a challenge to you. Back on the back table, there's just some things I'd like to share with you. First and foremost, there's a prayer card, my ugly mug, and a few others on there. This is just half of my brood here. My wife and I have 7 children. 3 of them are out of the nest and in the ministry full time. And the other 4 are still at home. If you would take one of those, we'd love to have you pray for us. And there's lots and lots of material back there in regard to the chaplaincy, a new brochure that we just had done up. Tells you a little bit about the chaplain's commission, why we do what we do, some of the criteria about if someone is interested in the chaplaincy, how do they go about finding more information. I'm not only a representative for the Army chaplaincy. I represent all services. Army, Air Force, Navy. Somebody's going to say, why didn't you say Marines? Because Marines do not have their own chaplains. Marine chaplains are all supplied by the Navy. So therefore, any Marine chaplain is actually a Navy chaplain that has been loaned to the Marines. But it's more than that. We also try to recruit chaplains for police department, fire department, hospital. We want to, even guys who say, hey, I've served in the military for all these years and I can't go back in. I say, hey, but you can still give back to your community. And one of the ways you can give back to your community is maybe through the chaplaincy, through the sheriff department, fire department, one of those areas. I did that for years while I was in the ministry up in Ohio. I was in the reserves and served on the Allen County Sheriff's Department as a chaplain for about 4 years. And what a blessing it was. But I would like to share more about that in this morning's, in the Sunday school hour. But this morning, let's go ahead, if we would. I want to challenge you with a thought from the Word of God this morning. If you'll join me in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Something that the Lord has really laid on my heart here, not only as a chaplain, but just as an American citizen. Do we have responsibilities as citizens? You know, not only just soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marines, but do we all have responsibilities? And I would contend, yes, we do. And we need to take those responsibilities very seriously. I want to challenge you this morning with a thought that the Lord laid upon my heart, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you as well. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 13, please. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 13 again. You see the common word there? For brethren, ye have been called unto what?
Liberty.
This morning I want to talk to you about this aspect of liberty, if I may. The time was 1736. The place was Hanover County, Virginia. And there was a young boy who was born to parents John and Sarah Henry. Raised in an affluent household, this young boy was given a good education. He was tutored by his father. At an early age, he was given his own business. But it shortly failed. After another attempt at business and then running a farm, those failed too. And in 1760, after another business attempt, he finally decided to become a lawyer. Now, I don't know what that says about him, okay? You just don't read between the lines too much. But it was here that this individual would make his mark on society. This individual that some deemed as a derelict, some would classify him as a radical, others even as a rebel, would soon be elected to the Virginia House of Burgesses. And in 1765, where he would introduce a bill that was called the Stamp Act Bill. This was a highly contentious bill that some deemed treasonous. Some even said it was the spark of the American Revolution. But still yet, and it was here that upon a decision to mobilize the militia against the British military, that this fiery, passionate orator would give a speech in that same Virginia House of Burgesses. And it was here that the words of that speech would go down in the very annals of history. A speech that many of us may not know the entire speech, but where we are very familiar with the last lines of the speech. That says, "Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take. That is for me. Help me. Give me liberty. Give me death." You know, I look at this and I want us to take a few minutes this morning to speak about this aspect of liberty. Because it's so important to each one of us. And I think that there's some things that we need to understand about liberty. First and foremost, I think we need to understand the cost of liberty. What is the cost of liberty? When you look at whether or not, in all the things that Patrick Henry said, whether he was a derelict, whether he was a radical, whether he was a rebel, whether he was a hero. Regardless of how you label him, I'll tell you one thing. He surely understood the cost of freedom. The cost of liberty. And maybe if I could echo his thoughts, whether they were his words or not, it's something that would be evidently true today with every single one of us. And you may have heard this quote before. But it goes like this. Do you know that there are some things worth arguing for that there's not worth fighting for? Do you know that there's some things fighting for that's not worth dying for? And do you know that there's some things just simply worth dying for? How many of you understand that? And that's truth. Patrick Henry understood that. And when he wrote those words, he knew exactly what he was saying. This cost of freedom is not going to come lightly. This cost of freedom from the British military is going to come with a price. Of all the famous quotes in history, and it's ironic that no one actually knows the source. It's an anonymous quote. But one that is quoted frequently. Can I tell you something, just as a reminder? Do you realize that we in this country have been at war for 13 years? How many of you still remember that? We are still at war. And where I work at the Central Command Headquarters, we send folks out constantly to Afghanistan, Iraq, and other places around the world because we've understood something that is reminded to us in this quote that comes from an anonymous source. You know what that quote is? Freedom is not free. We understand that. Patrick Henry understood that. We need to always remember that we understand that. See, the bottom line of this whole message,
See, us military guys, we like what we call bluff. You know what bluff stands for? Bottom line up front, okay? Do you know what the bottom line up front is? Here it is. I'll give you the bottom line up front. So if you fall asleep through the rest of the message, at least you got this piece. Here it is. Ready? Of the many who have gone before us in history, they've all come to the same conclusion. And here's what it really boils down to. The opposite of liberty is bondage. The opposite of freedom is slavery. And do you realize in that passage that we just read there in Galatians chapter 5, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he alluded to that very fact. Look at it again in verse chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, we must understand the cost of liberty. But secondly, and I don't mean to mince words, there's that cost of liberty, but then it comes with, I would separate this word, the price of it. What is the price tag that is put on our liberty in this country today? Sometimes I don't think we think about it, but when we do, it's a sobering thought. Because I think it was Thomas Jefferson who got it right when he penned these words during this same time period with Patrick Henry. And here's what Thomas Jefferson said. He says, from time to time, the tree of liberty must be watered with the blood of tyrants and the blood of patriots. Do you get that? That's the price. Do you realize that from the American Revolution to the current campaigns of Operation New Dawn, and now a whole new operation, Inherent Resolve in Iraq, Enduring Freedom. Get this. From that time period, 195,485, in other words, 1.2 million, have understood the cost by giving the ultimate sacrifice of liberty on a battlefield around this country. And they've come home in a body bag. They've come home in a casket. And we've buried American heroes for years who understood the price of freedom. Another 1.5 million would come off those same battlefields around the world and would never be the same again, bearing the scars of war. That, my friends, is the price of our freedom and our liberty in this country today. Amen? Amen. Why do these soldiers, airmen, Marines, do what they do? Why do they do this? Because they understand the price of freedom. And we have agreed to be the ones to stand in the gap to protect those freedoms from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we rose our hand and bore an oath of allegiance to do that very thing for the Constitution of this United States, for the Constitution of this country, and for the United States of America. And there are many out here, and I'm sure some of you sitting right here who have worn uniforms or who have been a part of that very same calling. And all I can say is praise the Lord for that. But we as just normal Americans need to understand that there is a price for freedom in this country. And then you have to stop and say, okay, listen, boil it down though. What is it that freedom gives us? We talk about freedom. We talk about liberty. But what does that freedom and liberty really give us? Help me out here. I like people talking back with me. Give me just a couple of thoughts. Give me some things that the liberty that you and I share gives us in this country today. Can anybody raise a hand and tell me? Just give me one. Yes. The freedom to be in this house today and to worship without fear that someone is coming in and is going to shoot this place up, or is going to arrest a pastor, arrest a chaplain, God forbid, or any of those things standpoint, that we have the freedom to worship right here today. What else? Freedom of speech. I can go out into the highways and byways and proclaim the truth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Some may think I'm a nut, but at least I'm not going to be arrested for it. Amen? What else? Freedom of, you can live wherever you want in this fine country. You don't have to have permission. You don't have to go seek a king, seek a governor, seek a statesman to say, hey, can I move from Florida to Tennessee? No, you can pack up all your stuff and move as long as you're able to afford it. Okay, so what else? You have the, yes, ma'am. You have the freedom to have the Word of God in your hands. You have the freedom to vote. You have so many freedoms. What a blessing to live in this fine country. Because let me tell you a little secret. In the last 34 years, the last 9 of my career has been spent at the United States Central Command headquarters out of Tampa, Florida. That may not mean a whole lot to you, except for this. I spend the majority of my time in the Middle East. Whether it's Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, Oman, Kuwait, Qatar, I spend a lot of time in Middle East countries. And can I tell you a little secret that I learned? They don't have those same freedoms. They don't have the ability to just worship freely. They don't have the ability to stand on the street corners and hand out gospel tracts and talk to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't have those freedoms. In some of those countries, they don't get to choose an occupation. An occupation is chosen for them. They don't get the choice to choose where they live in some countries. They're told by their class, by their society, oh, you're of the lower class, you can only live here. You're of the middle class, you can only live here. You're of the affluent, you'll live up here. That doesn't sound very pleasing to me, nor to any of us, because we have been raised in a society that understands the freedoms that we have been given. And each of us can stand on the housetops and say, praise the Lord, that we have been given these great and wonderful liberties and freedoms. Amen? But let me ask you a question. What happens when we neglect those freedoms? What happens when we as American citizens begin to neglect those freedoms that we have been so blessed with? The truth is, if I may say it this way, I'm afraid that sometimes we take our liberty and our freedom for granted. True or false? And we begin to take those liberties and freedoms for granted. Do not be surprised that those liberties and freedoms are taken away from us little by little, inch by inch. Can I tell you a little secret? There is no word in our American history, there are no word in our society that makes us cringe so badly as the word slavery. Even saying the word, it still makes some of us cringe, because we understand what it was like in this society, in our country, when we lived under that. When we allowed those things to happen. A black mark on the society of our history. That still, when you mention the word, just makes some people still cringe. Do you understand that? No one likes that word. No word in American history makes us cringe so badly as the word slavery, as the word bondage. But as I travel around and I've told you, there's people who are living under bondage and slavery because they do not have these freedoms. And what's even worse, if we do not remember of why we have these freedoms and to continue to do the things that God has given us to maintain those freedoms. Do you realize that just as easily each one of us could put up their hands and say, slap the shackles back on. Slap them back on. Because as we lose those freedoms, that's exactly what will happen in this society. Do we understand that? That's why this is so important. That is not just from a military perspective that we remember that there's folks out there who are dying for these causes. But that we as Americans, each one of us, has a responsibility to remember these freedoms and that we do not ever neglect them in any way, shape, or form. The choice of neglecting, paying the price of liberty now and continuing is a choice to go back into slavery. We must continue to stand up and fight all enemies, foreign and domestic. And listen, we as Americans need to be wise and savvy, especially right here in our churches, to know that there are folks right around us that are sometimes trying to take those freedoms from us. We have to be up to date. We have to watch what is going on. We need to watch what laws are being proposed into the Senate and to the House and what's going on in our local community so that we have the ability to speak up with the voice that God has given us and say yes or no to these things that would cause those freedoms to be diminished in any way, shape, or form. Amen? But can I switch gears with you for just a second? Because that's true nationally. But can I share with you a thought here? What about the liberty that we have been given as Christians? You know, because there's not only just a national freedom. Do you realize that each one of us sitting in here who know Jesus Christ as their spirit, as their personal Savior, we also have been given a spiritual liberty, a spiritual freedom. I want to switch gears. I want to use the exact same topics, but let's look at it from a spiritual perspective. You know, do we, as Christians, as born-again believers, do we understand the cost of our spiritual liberty? You know, of all the words that Patrick Henry spoke, do you know that they could just as easily and equally be spoken of our spiritual liberty? I mean, think about it when I read these words. Is life so dear, so peace so sweet, has to be purchased at the price of change, forbid it, Almighty God? You think he used those words intentionally when he said, forbid it, Almighty God? I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Could those words just as equally be applied to our spiritual liberties as well as to our national liberties? Yes or no? Yeah. And of all the famous quotes that still may be anonymous, is it not true that this quote fits? Freedom, spiritual freedom, is not free either. Now I understand some of you are going, wait a second, where are you going with this? There is a cost for freedom. Even from a spiritual standpoint. See, because the bottom line is still true. The opposite of freedom is slavery. The opposite of liberty is bondage. Maybe not physically in chains. But do you know that there's a far greater slavery than physical slavery? How about spiritual slavery? How about being in spiritual bondage? Can I tell you something? Being in spiritual bondage is a whole lot more damaging than even being in physical bonds and chains. And the truth of the matter is, there may be some sitting right here that are in that spiritual bondage even today. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're still living under the bondage of sin. And can I tell you, there's a great cost that's associated with that. With that, from the standpoint of being under spiritual bondage. The price of freedom. Is there a price for the freedom that we share spiritually? Yeah, the Bible makes it very clear. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, "For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." No shedding of blood, no liberty. I thank God daily for the fact that Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross of Calvary, to give of His life, to shed His blood on that cross. For whose benefit? For our benefit. That our sins may be forgiven, that we may have a liberty and a freedom given unto us. Oh, it came at a price. It came at the price of the very Son of God. It came of the greatest of all prices. But that He willingly went to the cross of Calvary for each one of us. When's the last time that we've pondered and meditated on the cost of our spiritual liberty? Of what it cost God in order for us to have this liberty? When's the last time we stopped and thought about that? I hope we would never forget that. That we would be reminded of it daily. That the freedoms that we have spiritually come at a very high cost to God. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What a tremendous thought that we need to keep constantly before us. But in the last few moments that we have here, do we understand the real price of that spiritual liberty? Let me ask you a question then. The same question that I asked nationally, let's ask you a question spiritually. So what does that spiritual liberty then give us? We were able to answer very quickly of what the liberties that our national liberty gives us, right? And our national freedom. But can we just as quickly answer what freedoms and liberty we have spiritually through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Stop and think for a second. What liberties and freedom do you have spiritually because of the fact of the work that Jesus Christ has done, what He's done on the cross for us? Any hands? Yes, ma'am. Oh, one of the best ones to me is the aspect that I am able to come before the very throne of Christ. When? Every single moment, any time, that I'm able to actually enter in to the very heavenly of heavenlies with God, into His presence. And to be able to share my thanks, to be able to share my adoration, to be able to share my confession, to be able to share my needs to the heavenly Father, to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And why are we able to do that? Only because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we know the truth. That the moment that He said, "It is finished," the very veil between the holy and holy of holies was split from top to bottom, basically giving us free access to God at any time. What a liberty! What a freedom! What else? Yes. Freedom. Do you know you don't have to live in sin? Romans makes it very clear for us. That we are actually, the moment that we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we become dead to sin. Dead from its very power. Sin has no power over the born-again believer. Do you know that? And the moment that we sin, it's because we choose to. Not because we have to. We choose to live in sin. But God's freedom, God's liberty has removed it from its power. I praise the Lord one day that when we step into the heavenly, into the heavens, that we will not only be removed from the power of sin, but we will also be removed from the very presence of sin. Amen? But here, right now, we can enjoy the freedom that we do not have to live under the power of sin. Amen? What else? Yes, sir. We are a joint heir with Christ. Can you fathom what that means? That in the will that God has wrote, as far as an inheritance that is to be given to His children, that we are included amongst that children. And that we are deemed by God Himself to say, you're not only an heir, as a child of God, but you are joint heir with Jesus Christ Himself. Wow. I can't even grab hold of what that really means entirely. But that is a freedom and a liberty.
that has been given to each one of us as believers. Are you grasping this? Is it kind of helping to motivate you to say, wow, I have to stop and think about these things at times? Not only the fact that we have been given eternal life, not only the fact that we have been given life everlasting, that the moment that you take your last breath or that your heart stops to beat, that in the very moment that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I could almost get excited. I could almost get a little Pentecostal here. This excites me to think about the liberties and the freedoms that we have been given. Abundant life. Not just life, but abundant life. And you know, I could go on for hours with all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us who have accepted Christ as His Savior, and these freedoms and these liberties. Luke 4:18 says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power or the authority to become the very sons of God. Freedom to come before the throne of grace. A freedom to be delivered from all corruption. And we could go on and on. But I got to stop here for just a second and ask a question. Have you experienced that liberty? Have you personally experienced that liberty? Because see, this liberty, you have to actually act upon this. What do you mean, Brother Willis?
Well,
the truth of the matter is, we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. We know that He gave His life. He shed His blood. And the truth of the matter is, we all have a responsibility before God. See, if you are here today, you'd have to ask yourself a simple question. And it goes something like this. If you're here today, you have to be able to answer this question in your heart. If you were to die today, or even 5 years from now, are you 100% sure that all your sins have been forgiven and that you have a home in heaven for all eternity? You have to personally be able to answer that in your own heart and mind. And you're either going to have to say yes, Brother Willis, or no, I'm not 100% sure. Or you'd answer, yes, I am sure. But then the next question is, so then why are you sure? If you was to say, yes, I'm sure, it only is because of one thing. Because somewhere along the line, someone has come to you and shared with you a couple truths. Number one, that we all have a problem with sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. Every single one of us. We have to be honest with ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us. And then once we see ourselves as God sees us, we come to the conclusion, I'm just simply a sinner. Period. Number two, you have to understand that there's a penalty that comes with that sin. Regardless of what the world thinks, sin is still nauseating to God. Sin is not a light thing to God. God said it very clearly, the wages of sin is death. That word death, whether it's in the Greek or the Hebrew, basically has the same connotation as the word separation. The wages of sin is separation. Separation from what? No, it's not separation from what. It's separation from who. The penalty of sin is to be separated from an almighty God. When did that happen? At the very moment in Adam and Eve, in the original sin. And it's been passed down to every single one of us. Regardless of whether you believe it or not, we're all sinners. We're born that way. We have that sinful nature. And just in our very nature, we are separated from God even right now without Jesus Christ. But I pray God didn't stop there. I praise the Lord He didn't stop there. Because the third thing you need to understand is not only is there a problem with sin, there's a penalty with sin, but third, there was the provision for sin. What's that provision? I already shared it. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He was the only one who had the ability to go to the cross, to give Himself as a sacrifice, shed that blood, not that our sin would be covered, but that our sin would be washed away. 1 John 1:7 makes it clear that those who believe in God, our sins are not just covered over, they are washed away. Amen?
And because of the fact of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, He made a provision that our sins can be forgiven. So there was the penalty, there's the problem, the penalty, and the provision. But it doesn't stop there. Do you know that I can know that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary? I can have an intellectual knowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and still go straight to hell? Do you know that? I deal with folks all the time that don't understand that the difference between heaven and hell is the distance of about 18 inches. What? Yeah, it's the distance between your head and your heart. Because God made it clear that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that which you believe in your heart, how that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, it's not just enough to believe. We've got to accept it by faith. We've got to believe it. We've got to receive it. We've got to trust in it. I've got to basically empty myself of self and come to the conclusion that I cannot help myself. Do you know there's actually a word for that? It's called repentance. Do you know what the word repentance really is? Actually, it's a military term. Did you know that? In the Greek, it's the word metanoia. But in the military, here's what we say. About face. That's the word for repentance in the Greek. It means about face. It means that this is the way that I was heading. I had to change my thinking. I had to change my mind and do an about face in my life, even spiritually, and come to the realization I can't save myself. Let me say it another way. Guys, how many of you hate to go to the doctor? It seems to be common amongst us men. Do you know when a man finally goes to the doctor, sir? You, my friend, are a smart man. But you just blew my illustration all to pieces. But the reality is, you know when a man finally goes to the doctor? When he comes to the conclusion that I am so sick that I can't help myself. I am so sick, I can't do anything. And then he finally says, I need to go to someone who can help. Guess what? That's repentance. When I finally come to the point of saying, I can't do this on my own. I cannot save myself. There's nothing in me that I can do. But Jesus Christ already did it. And that's where it all gets fun, because at that moment, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Son of God shall be saved. Whosoever will. I love that verse. That if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we all have the ability to come to Christ. And praise the Lord for those of you who have. And the moment that you did, you were given this spiritual liberty. But I've got to hurry, because I've got to share one last thought. Do you realize that if we neglect our national liberties, those can be taken from us? What happens if we neglect our spiritual liberties? No. I'm not saying that you can lose your salvation. So please understand. Don't go out of here saying, Chaplain Willis believes you can lose your salvation. That's not what I said. But I did say this, that if we do not, if we take for granted and neglect our freedoms, just like our American liberties, and take them for granted, what happens? What happens when we begin to neglect our spiritual liberties? We stop growing in Christ. We stop being productive as believers. People are no longer getting saved. Churches are no longer growing. Churches are going and looking more and more like the world than they are of the holiness of God. Do you ever look around and see why is it that some of these churches are just basically falling off? I mean, just one after the other. And ask yourself, why is that happening? I believe it's because many have neglected to be reminded of the spiritual liberties that have been given unto them. And they start taking those liberties for granted. And we start going through the motions. We stop living, and we stop talking about the holiness of God. And we get to all those points, and it's just a matter of time that the churches are looking more like the world than they are the very things of God Himself. And I say, shame on us! And may God never allow that to happen here at Westside.
But if it's never going to happen at Westside, then let me tell you real quickly here in this last minute, we've got to do something about it. Number one, don't ever neglect those freedoms. Keep them right here and right here daily. And be reminded of why we have those liberties. And then this, a couple things here that we can do. A call to arms, I think, is required. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, quit ye like men or act like men. In other words, that we would watch and stand as a sentry on guard duty, not to fall asleep at the will. I'm afraid that so many churches have fallen asleep at the will. It's not a time in society for us to fall asleep, folks. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4 says not to become entangled with the things of this world. When the world begins to creep into the church, it will snatch away those freedoms and those liberties. We cannot allow the world to come into the church and to snatch away those freedoms. We have to remain on guard constantly. James chapter 1, verse 25, and I'm going to close real quick with this verse, and he says this, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. What does that look like? Do what the Lord says. We just can't be going through the motions. We cannot become complacent. And this is something that every single one of us has to fight daily. Complacency when it comes to the aspect of God. Folks, let me challenge you today. Don't neglect the freedoms that you have been so bountifully blessed with nationally. And God forbid, help us to never become complacent with the liberties that have been given to us spiritually. May we all stand firm for the cause of Christ. May we constantly be in the Word. May we constantly be in prayer. May we constantly be in the house of God. May we constantly be seeking souls. May we constantly be out there trying to disciple those young believers to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because that's what our freedom gives us. That's what our liberty gives us. The moment that you neglect them, they will be taken from you. And we'll continue to see the work of God just fall off and fall off. May that never happen here in any way, shape, or form. Amen. May we be firm. We of Americans have been given one of the greatest gifts from God through our forefathers, the freedom as a nation. We of Christians have been given the ultimate gift, freedom from sin, death, and hell. My challenge and question to you today, church, what are we going to do with those freedoms this day? Amen. What do you choose to do with those freedoms this day? Father, we thank you for this time. I just pray that you would just constantly use us and help